Hello, everybody. Welcome to Media Snack. My name's Tom Denford. Joining me on a special Media Snack today is Bill Duggan from the ANA, and we're going to talk about their new report, Procurement 2022, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly.
Thank you for having me back. I appreciate it. Good to be here.
Welcome to Media Snack, the live weekly show where we unpack the important questions you all have about media, agencies, marketing, and more. If you are new to the channel, it's great to have you join us. Please subscribe to get alerts of all upcoming weekly episodes.
Hey, Bill, great to have you here.
And so good to see many familiar faces in your opening montage there, Tom.
I think you're in there, or Bob in there somewhere. Right, so we're going to talk about this report. And I will say, before, there's many, many Media Snack viewers who know how passionate we are about marketing and media procurement. They know that. But there's always a danger people go, oh, procurement, and switch off. They might go watch something, some other cat video or something. But this is interesting because this is the second report that you've done. It's like 12 years, I think, since you last did a look at procurement. And so what triggered you to relook at this?
Sure. So let me tell you about the first trigger. So 2010 was when we first did a report where we essentially surveyed three key constituents, of course, marketing, procurement, but the other two constituents were marketing and agencies. And the purpose was to understand how those respective constituents perceived the value of procurement, where there was alignment and where there wasn't. So when we did this 12 years ago, there was a lot of nasty stuff in the trade press at the time. You know, I remember Advertising Age did a study where they literally went into the LinkedIn backgrounds of various marketing procurement people and said, wait a minute, you know, these guys don't have marketing backgrounds. They're sourcing raw materials. You know, how fit are they for evaluating marketing and advertising? So that was the spark 12 years ago when we did the initial report that was simply called Procurement, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Mm-hmm. It was our intent. I've now been at ANA for 22 years. And in my view, some of the most valuable stuff that we do are reports that are trends that show how things change over time. And probably the most famous of that is our trends in agency compensation, which we've literally been doing for some 50 years, every 3 years or so. We've also done trend reports in in-house agencies. So this was one that was on our radar screen for a while to see whether things had changed or not. We fully intended to do this in 2020, but then something else happened called COVID, which you know, completely put those plans on ice. So we finally got around to doing it in 2022. And again, the purpose was to see, you know, how or if things changed in those 12 years.
Yeah. And, you know, I know going into that, you make no assumptions as a researcher, but you would hope that things would have changed because, as you say, 10, 12 years ago, perception of procurement, not necessarily the execution, but the perception of procurement was pretty low, wasn't it? And it was a relatively nascent thing. It was relatively new. I think, you know, the financial crisis of 2008 and 2009 had led, in our view, to more procurement involvement in media and marketing, which was actually a good thing. I think it brought a lot of discipline and diligence to the process, but it came with some reputation at the time. Did you have expectations this year when you redid it? Did you think that
I absolutely expected there to be positive changes from what we did in 2010? Again, a lot of time had passed. It was 12 years. There's been so much conversation about procurement and what makes good procurement and what makes bad procurement in the marketing industry. It's not just about lowering the cost. It's about adding value. How many times have we heard that over the past 12 years? There's been forums. There's, you know, the ANA has our Advertising Financial Management Committee, which is largely made up of procurement folks. We have our Advertising Financial Management Conference. There's ProcureCon. you know, there's all sorts of, you know, industry resources these days for procurement folks. So it was absolutely, you know, my hypothesis that we would see, you know, fairly radical change from 2010 to 2022.
Yeah. And so for those that are interested, we'll link below. You can download, because you've made this report freely available. So thank you for doing that, because I know that it's a vast report as well. It's like 50 odd pages, but you can get everything you need pretty much from the first 10 or so pages. And then if you want to go deeper, there's some good explanation as to the insights behind some of these things. But so get the report and do have a read through. But so give us a preview then, or summary of what you did find. What did we get from the report?
Well, first I'll tell you what happened in 2010. So again, we surveyed procurement, marketing, and agencies, and asked each of those three constituents about the perceived value of procurement. Procurement said, "We're awesome. Yeah, two thumbs up." Agencies, no surprise, said, you know, quite the opposite. You know, let me get both my thumbs there. Two thumbs down. You guys don't add value. You guys are a pest. We wish you'd go away. That was not a surprise 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. What was a surprise is that marketing teams were very closely aligned with the agencies in their perception, and I'll say a fairly negative perception of procurement. So that's what happened 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And then so did things change? You know, the key headline is, yes, the perception of marketing has improved. It still has some work to do, but there's been a positive shift in the perception that marketing has of procurement. But the perception of agencies is still somewhat in the toilet.
Yeah, yeah. And is anything different 12 years later? Because, as you said,
well, this
has a community, right? And there's so much, positive coming out of the procurement community. But why is the perception still lagging with, particularly with agency?
Well, this was the surprise to me. So again, we did this report 12 years ago, and we asked all sorts of questions. From the procurement teams, you know, how long has your department been around? What is your background? Do you come from sourcing raw materials or do you come from marketing? So here's the big insight is that procurement, in my view, is still an adolescent. So again, still an adolescent. So what does that mean? So one of the key findings is that the average marketing procurement department has only been in existence for 11.6 years. So this is your opportunity to say, wait a minute, Bill, you did the last 12 years ago.
Yeah.
That math doesn't work. You know, how is that even possible if you did your first report 12 years ago? And now your new report says that the average marketing procurement department has only been in existence for 11.6 years. Hmm. That's because so many A&A member companies are new to marketing procurement. So I'll throw out another statistic from the survey is 55%. So over half of marketing procurement departments have been in existence for less than 10 years.
Yeah.
And a quarter have been, a quarter of the marketing procurement professionals have less than 5 years of experience in marketing procurement.
Yeah.
So again, half of the companies didn't have marketing procurement 10 years or so ago. And a quarter of the marketing procurement professionals have less than 5 years of experience in marketing procurement. Yeah. So to me, that helps explain why many of the issues that we had in 2010 are still with us today. Again, procurement is still an adolescent.
Yeah, yeah. And that might explain still some of the perception gaps, which we would hope over time those can be addressed, and we'll come on to some of the recommendations that you make, which I think are really important to help address that. There's a particular insight, I think, which is going to be very helpful for the industry. I suppose one good thing has been the growth of marketing procurement, because even 12 years ago, it was still relatively rare that you would have procurement dedicated to marketing, even if, as the report back then pointed out, they weren't necessarily trained in marketing. You know, they'd come from sourcing of other materials.
You know, it's a common discussion that we've had many times over the years in the Advertising Financial Management Committee that says, is it better to have a marketing procurement person that comes from some other type of procurement, you know, often what's called direct procurement, you know, sourcing raw materials and move them into indirect procurement? Or is it better to have somebody come from marketing agency side or some type of marketing or marketing operation roles and move them into procurement? So there's really no such thing as better, but both can work.
Yeah.
But I certainly do see advantages to having somebody with a marketing background or agency background move into marketing procurement. Because one of the things that people say about marketing procurement is it's a bit more squishy. Somebody has to be comfortable operating in what we call gray areas that are somewhat or can be ambiguous. Somebody that is trained in advertising and marketing is used to operating in those gray areas.
Yeah. And we need it. I mean, this is our view, right? We're, as MediaSnack viewers will know, we're big champions of media procurement, but broadly marketing procurement, but media, especially media, because of its complexity. And the need to bring that discipline and diligence and that procurement mindset to a complex supply chain. We need really good, strong media procurement who are willing to educate themselves about the industry that they're working in and be educated and show and demonstrate the value that they can bring as guardians of, you know, guardians of marketing investment, but also in theory, guardians of the relationship with the agencies. And that's the area that concerns me, that this new report is still showing such a sentiment gap from agencies that they really don't see a value of marketing procurement. And that I would find really troubling that we haven't made progress there.
Yeah, I'd like to pick up a little bit about media procurement, because I think I totally agree with you about the importance of media procurement. And that's something that we have seen, you know, over recent years, an increasing number of companies having a dedicated media procurement professional. Because if you think of the media landscape, and you know this far better than me, Tom, but how complicated it is, how fragmented it is. You know, going back to our transparency report from 6 years ago, we made the recommendation that more companies should have a chief media officer, you know, either in title or function. In other words, that meant have somebody on the team that is completely dedicated to media. You can't count on the CMO to do all that he or she does plus media. Same with media procurement, that there are, you know, an increasing number of companies that have media procurement, but we think that there's an opportunity for more, you know, because, you know, some of the things that a media procurement person does, helping with contracting, you know, that's fairly obvious. Media agency selection, if there's a review, media agency compensation, but things like scope of work, and setting KPIs, media agency performance evaluations, cost benchmarking, you know, advertising fraud monitoring, coordinating the activity of different teams and divisions, if that applies to optimize media efficiencies.
Yeah.
For many companies, media is their biggest marketing spend, or I'll use the word investment. So, again, we're big fans of media procurement, as I know you are as well.
Yeah, good. I mean, we encourage procurement that are responsible for media or interested in media to see themselves as guardians of the relationship, or part guardians of the relationship, because of those assets that you talk about. They should own the scope of work. They should own the fee model. They should own the assessment and the audit of agency performance. And those can be very positive things. They just need to be in a constructive forum. So any effort, which is why I love this report so much. I mean, any effort to try and highlight how we can improve the sentiment gaps, just, you know, drive away the resistance that exists between, you know, procurement and an agency in particular. But Bill, I want to touch on, because there's a particular recommendation of how we might address this. And your report's recommendation is that actually it's the relationship between marketing and procurement, which is the first step. This isn't before we start trying to think about how the agency might change their view.
Yeah, so again, a big gap between procurement and agencies. There's a gap between procurement and marketing, but it has improved. Mm. So exactly what you said, you know, one of the high-level insights is to improve the relationship between agencies and procurement. The relationship between marketing and procurement should be addressed first. So just to build on that, so the goals of the two groups, marketing and procurement, often aren't aligned. So how could you have marketing's goal is, you know, to drive market share, I'm making that one up, while procurement's goal is to save money? Those goals are not aligned. Mm. So it's important that the goals of the two groups be aligned. And then marketing and procurement often don't come across as a united front to agencies. So to supplement the quantitative research that we did a lot of qualitative discussions, including those with agencies leaders. And we heard so many times like the good and bad cop stories about procurement and marketing not coming across as a united front to agencies. And then some fundamental things that seemingly should be easy to fix, but procurement often doesn't have early involvement, nor is it involved throughout the process. All these things send signals to the agency that colors their perception of procurement.
Yeah. Yeah. We often observe when we do analysis of marketing organizations, and this is one of the things that is so often flagged up in our assessment, is that misalignment of goals of the marketing and the procurement organization. And often you have to go very, very high up a company to figure out where those things meet. You know, procurement is often reporting through finance or through a procurement organization. Sometimes you have to go all the way up to the corporate CEO before those actually things sit on the same desk, and it's not for them to be a adjudicator on this stuff. I think designed to be intention.
And think how that affects agencies. You know, agencies that are working with both procurement and marketing, it's mixed signals. If they're hearing different goals, it's just not a recipe for good.
Which we hear explicitly from agency leadership is the client team arrives at the agency. There's a couple of people from marketing, a couple of people from procurement, and we see them as two separate clients. Right. Because they come in and they want different things. And that's, we've really got to get around that. So I think that's a very powerful point. And it's one of the headlines. I mean, just even in the exec summary, it's one of your, I think the most important takeaway, I think, from the whole report is marketing and procurement to get better aligned. We've seen some great examples. I know you're aware of this amongst your members and committees, some great examples of some advertisers that have really built bridges between marketing and procurement, where the marketer is a champion for their procurement colleagues and will defend their procurement colleagues, and they can both articulate the same ambition. We see that in media increasingly, still small, but it's increasing.
Right.
Very good progress. So I've mentioned that we can link, you can download the report for free. The ANA have made this widely available, so thank you again for that. For those procurement executives watching, What can they be doing? What should be their start point? What do you want them to do?
So I'm going to focus in on one of the recommendations that I think that helps everybody. And that recommendation is process improvements are an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So process improvements, you know, how can procurement play a role in making something better that would benefit the marketing team, that could benefit the agency? And, you know, some of the obvious examples, and these things have been around forever, the briefing process. Mm-hmm. So we still hear horror stories about agencies doing work, presenting it to the client. It moves kind of up the client chain of command. It makes it up to the CMO, And that person then questions the strategy. It's almost mind-boggling that we're still hearing stories like that.
Yeah.
But that's a great example of an opportunity for process improvements, how procurement could play a role to make sure that all parties agree on the strategy before work begins. You know, yeah. Another oldie but goodie is the whole approval process of, you know, how many people need to look at the work. You know, often the more eyes upon creative work, the more the sharp edges get rounded off, mm-hmm. and the opportunity for greatness diminishes. So I think that procurement could play a role working with the marketing team to ensure quicker approval processes. So those are two examples. It's actually a next step that I'd like to do from this report is you know, canvas ANA members, and I would welcome canvassing agencies as well, to identify examples of process improvements. Yeah. That other companies can't consider.
Yeah, yeah, good. And you've got a task force, I think, now, the ANA.
Yeah, I learned a long time ago that a project doesn't end when you publish something.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're at the 50-yard line when you publish a report. So we have started an internal task force. Actually, there's two working groups, but one task force is just getting going, but looking at what we learned from this report and figuring out how to take things to the next level. I've already identified one work stream about process improvements. There's also interest from the 4As. You know, the 4As have been a great partner with ANA, and certainly the friction between agencies and procurement isn't a good thing. I recognize that. My counterparts at the 4As recognize that as well. And we're in discussions with the 4As as to how we could work more closer together to address the procurement situation.
Yeah, very good. Very good. And then just finally, before we wrap, I mean, one of the, if you download the report, you'll see there are 10 clear recommendations. With further explanation, but one of those, and it's a theme throughout the report, is this, the sense of lack of understanding being part of the root of this, you know, low scoring of procurement. And, you know, we know that, or believe that, you know, familiarity should breed trust, shouldn't breed contempt, it should breed trust. And so, you know, raising awareness and understanding of procurement practice in agencies, probably quite a good thing. You know, raising awareness and understanding of agency practice amongst marketing procurement is probably a good thing. Have you got a thought, you know, as our trade association, how that comes about? Is that something that the ANA is going to step into in terms of educating us on each other's practices?
Yeah, I think education is fundamental to what ANA is all about. I've mentioned our Advertising Financial Management Committee that is open to any ANA member. That committee has been around for a long time. It predates me. I've been at ANA a long time, 22 years, but that committee has been around probably 40. If we were starting that committee from scratch, we would likely call it the ANA Procurement Committee or Sourcing Group, just like the WFA has its sourcing forum. Mm-hmm. But it meets pre-pandemic, it met quarterly. During the pandemic, it met six times a year virtually. We're starting to go back to in-person meetings, and the cadence for that going forward will likely be six times a year, half in person and half virtual. And those are learning opportunities. The purpose of those meetings is to bring members together to share case studies and experiences and benchmarking. You know, a perfect meeting is, you know, has a couple of sessions when a member gets in front of a room or different members get in front of the room and shares what they've done. Or we put an issue on the table and everybody gives a perspective. So certainly, continued education is incredibly important, you know, especially for the group of procurement guys that, that are coming from other types of procurement and moving into advertising.
Yeah, yeah, very good. And there's some good example. I mean, there's some named individuals in the report who contribute some of their insights. I know I don't really want to call out individuals, but I will do. But Kevin McCullum from Hershey's has written a great piece about servant leadership. I think it's page 17, if I remember right, Kevin. And a really good proponent in the media space of that need to educate yourself. It's something that he talks about a lot. So I would draw your eyes to that. Bill, listen, thanks again to the ANA for continuing to put out these great reports. I think they help push us forward. And as I said, I love that you make this free access, because otherwise these problems stay in a bubble. So thank
you. Yeah, it's an industry issue, whether you're an ANA member or not. You know, while we have many marketers that are ANA members, not everybody is. While we have many agencies as ANA members, not all agencies are. So, you know, we believe that it's important to make these publicly available to anyone, because it'll help the industry. And if it helps the industry, it helps our members.
Great. Bill Duggan, ANA, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me back, Tom.
Media Snack is brought to you each week by ID Comms, the award-winning growth consultancy specializing in media and advertising. We help advertisers on a life cycle to growth in three service areas: capabilities, partnerships, and optimization that transform your marketing investments into real company growth. Whether you are upgrading your internal media capabilities, planning an agency pitch, want to learn new best practices, or simply get better performance from your marketing investments, you can find more at idcomms.com/growth.